Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Decide Your Destiny, an interactive narrative podcast based around the choose-your-own-adventure style of storytelling. Each episode, our hero will be faced with a choice, the decision of which will be left to you, the audience. This particular adventure is set in the Forgotten Realms, one of the main settings for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Our first hero, Ephoril Silveraneth, is a young bard of the elven race who has set out to travel the world as part of his training. Will he find his way into the history books, fame and fortune with his bardic prowess, or an early grave? Where his travels lead will be dependent on you and your vote. Now, let us begin our adventure and prepare to decide your destiny. Reflecting its golden rays along the River Roran, the sun sets to the west of the city of Silvery Moon. Deep shadows cast by the long, elegant spires lengthen as night falls, the moon just beginning to peek up from the east, as if afraid to catch a glimpse of its counterpart. The forest surrounding the city begins its nightly orchestra, catching the ears of evening strollers and drowsing citizens alike. Within the walls of the city, another performance begins. This one to a slightly rowdier audience.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you ever so kindly for allowing me to play here at the Golden Oak. As a long-time traveler, it feels wonderful to arrive in a place so much like home. The first song of the night will be Starfall Pool.
Standing upon the stage of the Golden Oak Inn was a traveler that even the majority elven patrons hadn't seen in quite some time. With light olive-green skin, hair that resembled the leaves of a white birch, and piercing blue eyes flecked with gold, few of the patrons had laid eyes on any of his kind before. The owner of the inn, knowing of the rarity of one such as him, was eager to allow the young elf to play, be he good, bad, or downright unbearable to listen to. The spectacle itself was enough to draw in customers, let alone him not needing to find a bard for the evening. So, as the young Eladrin began an eloquent rendition of Starfall Pool, a local ballad and favorite of many, the crowd sat in rapt silence for a short while. Soon after his set had finished, coin purse slightly heavier with tips from the night, the Eladrin bard set himself up at the bar. Aeron, the owner and barkeep, made his way over, wiping down the bar for the evening on the way. Ephoril looked the man up and down as he approached, having only spoken to him once before to secure the set for the evening. A stockier build, the man was bald with a rugged and bushy beard similar in style to many of the dwarves he had seen upon his arrival. A small scar etched a line in the man's left brow.
"You know, I was taking a real gamble sending you up there tonight. An unknown lyrist without a proper audition and a first nighter in Silvery Moon. Main reason I allowed it was the fact that I hadn't seen an Eladrin in the city in more than 10 years. You surprised me by actually being worth your stuff as well. You've certainly earned the bed and the hot meals."
"I am exceedingly grateful for the opportunity to share my craft here, sir. I try to make it a point to perform in every residence I stay in on my travels. The second point I try to make is to sample any and all spirits said residence has to offer, if you catch my drift."
"Fine, fine. I'll start you off with a nail, and then we can build you up to something stronger. First, though, a couple of questions for a curious man like myself, if you don't mind."
"Of course, of course. Any and all questions will be answered to the best of my knowledge, sir."
"You can call me Aeron. For starters, what brings you over from the Feywild? We haven't had contact with the plane for a while now, and travelers certainly weren't regular before then."
"Well, to tell you the truth, it was nearly by accident. I was traveling with a troop of circus folk for the better part of a year, and after our last show for the Good Fae of the Summer Court, they told me they'd be leaving the area for some time. I told them I was in no hurry to return home, and I'd be happy to join them, at least to their next stop. Lo and behold, it was through a portal to the Material Plane. With a whole new realm to explore, I bid them farewell and asked for directions to the nearest city, which happened to be Silvery Moon."
"Well, they made the right choice sending you here, at least. The city was built very similarly to the elven cities of old, which were in turn built to model those of the Fae. Probably kept you from being shell-shocked too much on your arrival."
"It was certainly a welcome sight, and to learn the city was home to the knowledge seekers, sages, and bardic schools made it all the better. I couldn't have found a better place to start my exploration of the plain."
"So, you looking to study at one of the bardic colleges, then?"
"Oh, I actually hadn't thought of that. I had an instructor back home, but they told me to experience the world before returning to them to complete my training. Do you think it would be cheating of some kind to gain entrance somewhere else?
Any instructor worth their title knows the first part of being a bard is that you can't be the best teacher for everything. I'm sure one of the reasons yours sent you out into the world was to learn from others of the craft, and, as luck would have it, you landed right in the center for bardic scholarship. Two, actually, depending on your breadth of skill.
May I ask how you know all of this information? I would expect a tavern owner to know this and that about the craft, but you seem to speak from experience in the arts.
Let's just say I've got a fine ear for music and leave it at that, shall we? Ephoril wasn't entirely convinced, but he let the subject go. Aeron asked after his family, life in the Feywild, and more mundane topics as the night went on. Ephoril sampled an astounding assortment of ales, meads, and liquors during the conversation, feeling contented in his stupor in the excellent company. As the last patrons trickled out of the tavern, he wished Aeron a good night and made his way to his room. With only slight trouble getting up the stairs, slightly more trouble unlocking the door, and quickly disrobing, Ephoril finally settled onto his bed in a seated position. Bringing the fur blanket up around his shoulders to stave off the night's chill, he brought himself into a meditative pose, his eyes growing glassy and taking on a far-off look. Many of the other races found this practice slightly unnerving, as the semi-conscious, trance-like state of all elves felt off to those that slept normally. The pre-dawn hours, between 3 and 5 in the morning, were a time of self-reflection and ritual for Ephoril. Each morning, without fail, save if he had fallen ill, Ephoril brought out a small bundle of cloth from his pack. Unfurling it onto the floor, it revealed a small assortment of gemstones, pressed leaves, and a singular stone, blackish-gray in color, with rounded edges and an uneven, pocked surface. He arranged these objects into a starburst pattern, the symbol of Corlon, creator of the elves. After a short prayer he had learned from his mother, he sat in meditation for an hour more and set himself to work preparing for the next day. As the sun rose through his window, the gemstones began to reflect beams of colored light throughout the room, giving the appearance that the star was sparkling of its own accord. He stared for a moment before returning to his morning routine. Upon dressing, he made his way downstairs to ask for breakfast and to get some information from Aeron.
What's on the menu today, Aeron?
Just refilled my inventory, so a good bit. I'd recommend the pheasant or the deer. They each come with a tart and a light mead.
Oh, both sound divine. Surprise me.
Pheasant it is, then. You're up early, by the way. Just a quick riser or somewhere to be?
Oh, this is when I normally wake up. Just after sunrise, the best time to be outside, be it on the road or walking the paths of a city.
The crisp air of the morning is definitely refreshing to breathe in while hauling shipments. So, what's your plan for the day? Taking in the sights? Looking for work? Going to the colleges, perhaps?
I believe I may just wander in the direction of the colleges and see what meets me along the way. What would be the best way to get there?
The barmaid arrives as Aeron explains the path. The roasted pheasant is plump and golden brown, the scent of spices drifting into Ephoril's nose and causing his mouth to water slightly. He doesn't hesitate to dig in. Well, to get to the Conclave, you'll need to pass over the Moon Bridge to the southeast. It's a sight to see, so I'd approach it from the docks so you can get a good view of it. Then it's just a straight shot south from there. Oh, and if you want to visit the Bardic College, that'll be directly east of Hunter's Gate to the north. Scarfing down his tart and washing it down with his mead, Ephoril condenses his plates and sets them to the side of the bar for easy cleanup, before hopping off of his stool.
I'll certainly make time for it if I can. Have you an open set for the evening?
Not tonight, but you should come back around then anyways. The player for tonight is someone you won't want to miss.
Oh, you've intrigued me. I'll be back around sundown then, and thank you for the hospitality and the information. I feel like I've been here for months with how well you've treated me.
A true patron of the arts knows how to treat their talent. Now, get moving before you lose precious hours of the day.
Be seeing you.
With that, Ephoril set out to the south, hitting the northern bank of the River Roran in a few minutes. As he turned the final corner onto the docks, he stopped mid-step as he registered the majesty of the sight before him. Spanning the vast banks of the river without a single support throughout was a massive arch of pure silver light. From his particular angle, the reflection on the river gave off the sense that the bridge merely continued under the water, forming a perfect circle. He understood why it was called the Moon Bridge at that moment, and took his time walking up the bank toward it. At such an early hour, few people were making the journey across the bridge, so Ephoril committed the elegance of the image to memory. As he looked to the apex, however, he caught a glimpse of a young woman,
pale and garbed in a flowing white gown, dancing in a slow, gliding rhythm. He blinked and the image was gone, causing him to question if it was merely a trick of the light. He made his way over the bridge, marveling at its design, before continuing his journey south. As Zephyril made his way down the wide, forested path beyond the moon bridge, he noticed what he assumed to be the conclave. Uniformed men and women of all ages, races, and creeds shuffled in and out of a cluster of buildings, large archways and greens set in between them. Some lounged in the shade of the various trees while others sat hunched over multiple books on park benches. A large conservatory sat near the center of the buildings, with the soft sound of music emanating from the nearby courtyard. Assuming this to be one of the colleges, Ephyril made his way there. A small group of students seemed to be practicing a piece outside, the melody unfamiliar but soothing to his ears. He thought to bring out his lyre, but didn't want to interrupt the performance. This particular piece seemed to focus on a shift from slow, drifting adagio to a more light and quick allegro, the contrast creating a call-and-response feeling to the piece. Ephyril sat quietly, drifting with the music, until the song's final note slowly faded into the morning air. The students, now focusing on his arrival, gave him a glance as Ephyril blushed slightly.
My apologies if I interrupted. The piece was positively splendid, and I couldn't help but sit in. I'll be going now, but thank you for the magnificent performance.
Moving quickly to hide the slight embarrassment, Ephyril made his way towards the front entrance of the conservatory. Once inside, he found himself in a large arched foyer, with hallways leading deeper into the building, and a single reception desk on the far end. Curiously, he couldn't hear any music inside the building, and wondered if he may have the wrong place. Walking up to the desk, he found a gnomish woman perusing a set of sheet music, standing on top of a stool to reach the desk properly.
Excuse me, may I inquire if this is the local Bardic College?
The gnome looked up, eyes widening slightly at the sight of such a rare visitor.
Well, not exactly. This particular college is Outram's Music Conservatory. While we take in all types of students, we are strictly a musical school. If you're looking for training as a bard specifically, that would be the College of Fochlacan, also known as the House of the Harp, over on North Bank. However, musical instruction is highly encouraged for fledgling bards, as the fundamentals of music are nearly the same as the fundamentals of magic. Ah, I see. Well, if anything, I might as well have a look around while I'm here. Are there any particular places, services, or people that would be of interest to a traveling bard looking to propel his craft to the next level?
Well, of course. First, if you would like to practice or perform a piece, you may have access to our practice rooms for one silver piece for 2 hours. The only stipulation being the students and faculty may listen in from the balconies. You may also use the recital halls for a performance, though they must be free of charge for admission. There are also music lessons and enrollment in the college itself.
Well, thank you for the information. I may just take a look around for now, but I assume that I should come to you to rent a space.
Yep. Just let me know when and for how long, and I can see what rooms are available. Have a wonderful day.
With that, the gnome returned to her sheet music, a large smile on her face for being able to help a somewhat lost visitor. Ephyril made his way down one of the side hallways to see if he could catch any more music being made. He noticed it was still strangely silent, so he took a peek in one of the practice room windows. Sure enough, there was a student playing a viola. However, no sound was emanating from the room. Intrigued, but not wanting to disturb the student, Ephyril made his way back to reception.
Is there any reason that I can't hear any music in here?
Oh, I forgot to mention, silly me. Each practice room is magically sealed to lock in any sound from within. This works both in not disturbing other practicing students, as well as making near-perfect acoustics within.
Fascinating. I will have to come back and rent a room the next time I'm free, then. Thank you so much.
Of course. Have a wonderful day.
Ephyril made his way back out of the building, checking the sun to see how long he had been wandering. Sure enough, he had spent longer than he expected, with the sun drifting past its apex already.
Nearly 1 o'clock,
he thought to himself. I should get a move on if I want to visit the House of the Harp before this evening's performance. So, slightly disappointed that he could not travel the rest of the campus today, he made his way back to North Bank, heading through a now bustling marketplace. Noting some of the more interesting shops and stalls in the area, but wanting to hurry to the college, Ephyril walked briskly towards Hunter's Gate. He flagged down a guard nearby for further directions.
Excuse me, sir. Could you direct me to the House of the Harp from here?
Of course. Head right down this alley and it'll be the big building on your left. Can't miss it.
Excellent. Thank you kindly.
Ephraim made his way down the alley, the air tinged with the scent of moss growing along the wall of its buildings. Emerging from the other side, Ephraim found a relatively quaint two-story brick building, its back pressed up against the northern walls of the city. Ephraim likely would have missed it if it were not for the massive ivy climbing up the walls of the building, molded to resemble musical notes, instruments, and, just above the entrance, the masks of tragedy and comedy. Marveling at the intricacy of the woven vines, Ephraim walked up to the threshold of the college, taking a deep breath before striding through the front entrance. Inside, Ephraim was greeted with a long, elegant hallway. Tiled floors with designs resembling the soundboard of a lute, rich mahogany walls lining either side, and a low vaulted ceiling painted with various frescoes. In small alcoves along the hallway were finely crafted instruments, sheet music that looked older than himself, a rare thing for an elf, and intricately adorned bardic garb from ages past. At the far end of the hall was a singular marble pillar, roped off and isolated. Upon this pillar was a masterwork of an instrument, a bandur boasting nearly twice the number of strings of any he had seen in the past. Intricately carved along the soundboard were interwoven knots weaving around the sound hole before branching out to three creatures, a rearing horse, a forest fox, and a roaring bear. The instrument emanated a powerful magical aura, such that Ephraim could sense it without the need for arcane detection.
Quite the instrument, is it not?
Shocked out of his trance, Ephraim quickly spun around to face the source of this question. Looking around quickly, he did not see anyone else in the hallway, until he heard a throat being cleared slightly below his field of view.
Don't worry, it happens all the time, especially with you freakishly tall elves.
Looking down, Ephraim now saw the source of the sudden voice, a silver-haired halfling, not half his own height, dressed in a well-tailored forest green coat, standing with his hands on hips and a wry grin on his face.
Morel Luekwan, Master Bard and Headmaster of Fochlakan College, also known as the House of the Harp. Pleased to make your acquaintance.
Hearing the man's identity, Ephraim paled slightly, worried he had insulted the man by not seeing him at first.
Terribly sorry that I missed you on first glance. I'm not entirely used to beings of your stature inside cities just yet. Please forgive me.
No apologies necessary, young one. You're not the first, and you certainly won't be the last. A tip for you, look down as much as you look up wherever you are. You might miss more than you think if you don't.
With that, the halfling pulled a familiar coin purse out from behind his back, jingling it slightly before returning it to Ephraim, who stood dumbfounded. Morel winked coyly before continuing.
Well, with that lyre on your back and the glint in your eye, I'd say you were at least a musician, more than likely a fledgling bard. So, what brings you to my humble academy? Fame, mastery of musical magic, street cred with the ladies, or a bit of all three?
Ephraim blinked twice before stammering out a response, still at a loss for words at this strange man.
Well, honestly not sure. I'm an adventurer, you see.
Ah, a common misconception. Not all adventurers are bards, but all bards are adventurers. They aren't mutually exclusive in the slightest. If you plan to gallivant across Toril with an instrument in hand, you're a bard through and through. And to do so, you need proper training. I take it you have at least beginner knowledge of the concepts of music, magic, and their intermingling?
Well, my instructor...
Instructor? What's their name? I'm sure I know them.
I can't imagine you would. She's from the Feywild.
Try me.
Well, her name is Gildis Miliamni.
Old Gildy? That's where she went off to. My boy, we studied together in Knaith. Is she doing well?
As far as I know, yes, though I haven't seen her in over a year.
Let me guess. She told you, before you complete your training, you must travel the world. Return when you think you are ready.
Yes, exactly that, actually.
Exact thing our instructor told us in Knaith. Still a traditionalist, Gildy. Well, you've certainly come to the right place if you're looking for bardic instruction. We are the foremost college in all of the Silver Marshes and one of the only places to reignite the ancient teachings of Falotair and the Elder Bardic Colleges. We specifically focus on the College of Lore, based around obtaining and sharing knowledge everywhere we travel, as well as a mastery of the arcane that no other colleges can hold a candle to. Admission is free to all hopefuls, however, there is auditions to enter the school. As luck would have it, those are being held at the end of this 10-day, starting at noon of the ninth day. You'll need to have two contrasting pieces on an instrument of your choice, one poem, 16 lines or fewer, and at least two spells to demonstrate arcane knowledge.
Ephoril took in this barrage of information, the halfling speaking remarkably fast and with remarkable lung capacity.
I greatly appreciate the information, Master Luaquan, and I am strongly considering admission here. There are a few other avenues I have yet to explore, and I will certainly be mulling over everything over the next few days. Rest assured, I will be more than prepared for audition should I choose to enroll. I expect that you will. Remember, the path to greatness begins with training, no matter the skill. Make sure that whatever avenue you choose, it starts with proper instruction. Of course. Thank you, Master Luaquan. The pleasure was mine, young man, and you'd better hurry. You're almost late. Or what?
Realization dawned on him as he glanced out of a nearby window. Dusk was swiftly approaching, and he would need time to return to the Golden Oak.
How did you... Either way, you're right. I'll be seeing you, sir.
As Ephoril dashed out of the college, Forel smirked again before turning back to the Bandor, whistling Starfall Pool to himself. Ephoril rushed his way back down to the docks, only slightly marveling at the sight of the moon bridge at dusk, heading quickly back to the Golden Oak so that he didn't miss the night's performance. Composing himself a block from the inn, he walked through to a relatively crowded floor and made his way to the bar, where Aeron had thankfully saved him a stool. Looking to the stage, Ephoril spotted an unexpected performer, speaking with an accompanist. Having only heard of them in tales, Ephoril found himself staring at the lithe, feline figure standing before him, dressed in an emerald green gown.
And I thought I was a rarity in the city. Not only did a tabaxi arrive at the same time I did, but you booked them.
You're still the odd one out here, son. River's a longtime resident of Silvery Moon, and someone I'd like you to meet after her set.
Gladly, I've never seen one of her ilk in person. I'd love to speak with her.
Don't go pestering her with too many questions, all right? I'm introducing you two for a reason, so there won't be much time for idle chit-chat, at least not tonight. Now hush, she's starting.
Intrigued and slightly confused by Aeron's reason to introduce them, Ephoril sat back as River stepped to center stage. The accompanist began an all-too-familiar piece, as the first notes of Tears of Salune drifted from the piano. What followed was one of the most astounding and heart-wrenching performances of the lament he had ever had the opportunity to hear. With a crystal-clear mezzo-soprano voice, eyes and lows that rivaled many of the professionals he'd heard in the Feywild, and a confidence only seen on one with years of experience, Ephoril knew he was listening to mastery. The song's final note faded into the distance as many of the patrons, including himself, wiped a tear or two from their eyes and gave a standing ovation. River bowed deeply before preparing for the next piece in her set. Ephoril barely took his eyes off of her as she sang, wanting to analyze every vocal shift, every change in tempo, hoping to apply even a piece of this performance to his own. After her set was finished, she was approached by many of the tavern patrons, offering tips, adoring the performance, asking to buy her a drink. She respectfully declined the latter and sifted through the crowd toward the bar, where Aeron looked to her with a knowledgeable smile. He passed her a mug filled with water and went about his business as the crowds began to disperse for the evening. After a few moments, she turned to Ephoril.
So, Aeron tells me that we should become more acquainted. My name is Misty River, though I go by River mainly.
Slightly nervous to be speaking so casually to someone of such skill, Ephoril nervously replies with a slight bow.
Ephoril Silveraneth, pleased to make your acquaintance, my lady.
Well, you certainly are a charmer. A rare quality for a rare individual here in Silvery Moon. Please call me River. What brings you from the Fae?
Oh, mainly new experiences and knowledge, my li... River, I am a bard by trade and an adventurer by want.
I take it the sameness of your old haunts did not live up to the possible world beyond then? I followed a similar path not too many years ago, and found myself here. Specifically, Aeron invited me to keep a permanent residence after hearing me perform at the conservatory.
Aeron approached at this, a sly grin on his face.
I sometimes wonder if that was the best or worst decision of my life.
You tease, but I remember you practically begging me to perform at your inn. He's a gruff one, but a softy once you get to know him.
Aeron huffed gruffly before returning to cleaning the bar. River took this opportunity to lean in closer to Ephoril, bringing her voice down to a near whisper.
There is a small business proposition I would like to make you, if you have the wish. Aeron has seen potential in you in our
additional line of work, and I am here to gauge your interest. Why don't you meet me in my room in an hour to discuss the details? It needs to be in private.
Oh, this isn't any sort of illegal activity, is it? I wouldn't want to make trouble in my first week in the city.
No, no, of course not. Just business that is better kept unknown to those of the everyday masses. I will tell you more in my room, all right? It is the last door on the right upstairs.
Moving away and talking more audibly to Aeron.
Well, I must be off to bed. Not enough sleep, and the voice will detest me for it in the morning. Good night, you two.
With that, she made her way up to the stairs, stretching her arms and yawning for full effect.
Aeron, you're certain that this isn't something illegal? Or do you think she's inviting me to her room for...
At that assumption, Aeron whipped a wet rag at Ephoril's hand, the hit making a sharp crack and leaving a red mark on his skin.
Get your head out of the gutter, boy. She certainly wouldn't be asking you that at all, let alone on your first meeting. And no, it is something else entirely, and you'll find out when she tells you. Got it?
Ephoril's cheeks reddened slightly with embarrassment as he rubbed his still-stinging hand.
Sorry, but you never know. I've been asked worse for simply being an exotic taste at least once already after my set. How about a glass of something stout while I pass the time?
Fine, but don't get too tipsy. You're going to want to listen to everything she has to say. Got it?
Understood.
Ephoril slowly sipped on his drink as the hour passed, many of the patrons having trickled out of the inn by then. He downed the rest of it before stretching and making his way upstairs, wishing Aeron a good night. Passing his own room, he walked lightly to the far door before knocking twice.
Come in.
He opened the door and stepped into the room where River was lounging on a small chaise, likely an addition for her permanent residence. She had changed from the evening gown to a flowing red nightgown. Ephoril again found his face reddening, but coughed lightly to hide it.
In actually coming to my room, it seems you have shown at least a passing interest into what I have to say, yes?
Ephoril nods.
Excellent. May I ask, have you ever heard of an organization known as the Harpers?
I can't say that I have, no. Is it a troop of some kind, a coalition of bards, a union?
All good guesses, but no. We are a group dedicated to maintaining balance and freedom for all living in Toril. And to do as such, we must operate in secret, keeping much of what we do out of the public eye for the greater good. We are what are commonly known as spies. In the lightest terms, we seek out those that wish to help the greater good and that do not see personal gain as the driving force behind their lives. Bards are members we most often recruit both for their skill in many tasks as well as their outlook on life, namely the sharing and expanding of the knowledge of the world through song and performance. And, as you may have guessed, Aeron has seen similar ideals in you, and would like to offer you a place among our ranks.
Oh, wow. This is all so interesting and, well, overwhelming.
That is to be expected. It is not every day that you are asked to join a world-changing organization. Why don't you take some time to think on it? Say, ninth day?
Right, I will. Thank you for the offer. I will leave you to your evening and have an answer for you by then.
See that you do, though whichever you choose is fine with me.
Ephoril left River's chambers, closing the door softly behind before letting out a deep breath.
What have I gotten myself into?
He thought to himself as he made his way to his room. As he settled into his meditative stance for the evening, a thought came to his mind.
River said ninth day, didn't she? Why does that ring a bell? Damn, the college auditions. I couldn't possibly enroll if I were to become a spy. Or should I just say no to both and go on my own path? Oh, this is infuriating.
Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Decide Your Destiny. Now, as Ephoril's in a bit of a conundrum, he needs your help to decide what path to choose. There will be a poll posted on the podcast Twitter with a link in the podcast description to head there. Just choose one of the options and submit, and we'll find out where the story goes in the next episode. The poll will remain up for 5 days after each episode is released, and the current release schedule will be every other Thursday starting today. Again, thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait to see where our adventure takes us.